Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, your co-host for Ask the Pastor Now. On behalf of all of us here at Ask the Pastor Now, I want to wish you a blessed Thanksgiving. I don't know how your day has been. I don't know if you're with a crowd or by yourself. However, I do know that our prayer for you is that you can take a few moments and join us in giving thanks to God that He loves us and sent His Son for us. It is easy to get tired and worn down, but make no mistake, we do have something to give thanks for. So stay with us as we give thanks, talk about some reasons to give thanks, and even listen to some people we recently spoke with to find out their thoughts on Thanksgiving and America today. But first, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, speaker, and our resident Pilgrim Padre, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this Thanksgiving evening?
Well, slightly caught off with your unusual Thanksgiving intro, but I thank you nonetheless very much on behalf of the Padre. You know, we do have some very special sound bites with us this evening from some people that we recently had the opportunity to meet, and look forward to that. And probably, you know, these are going to be the only Thanksgiving bites that are totally calorie-free and equally tasteful, by the way.
Yes.
So I tell you what, Jim, let's get started. And would you please open us in prayer so that we can begin our Thanksgiving time together the best way?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight both to study your word and to give thanks. Father, we ask for your clear direction in all that we say or do. However, tonight, Lord, mostly, we just want to give you our praise. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and minds. Please, Lord, comfort our listeners. Remind them that they are not alone when they have you as Savior and as Lord. Throughout our land, may we humble ourselves, pray, and seek your face. Watch over those of us who are away from our families for various reasons, and especially those who are protecting us through our military service. We pray that the lost will come to know you as Savior and Lord, and that the saved yield their will to yours. God, please spare our nation. You know, Lord, our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. May we not just hear the word, but put it to use in our daily lives. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I must admit that I find the commercial side of the Thanksgiving season a bit frustrating. I think it's important to realize that even as we move past the Pilgrims and the American Indians, this holiday is especially important today. We should remember that it has been celebrated as a federal holiday every year since 1863, when during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heavens, to be celebrated on the last Thursday in November.
And that is definitely true, Jim. I thoroughly agree with you. You know, those times with the Pilgrims and the settlers and facing that very, very difficult winter, and realizing that they were able to work with the Indians, learn from the Indians, and to survive, and really had a reason to come to God and express their thanksgiving. And just as you mentioned that during the Civil War, there was a declaration of thanksgiving that we still honor. Many people don't realize that during that time of the States' Rights War, President Jefferson Davis of the South not only had such times of thanksgiving, but also of times when he, with General Lee, called the nation to a time of submission to God, asking for his divine healing. Now, this is something that I really believe we definitely need today.
Well, Pastor, I totally agree with you. Could we do something a bit different tonight? Recently, we had some time with people who were here in Houston celebrating Thanksgiving. Could we share some of the ways our guests are celebrating this time, and then let's look at some of the scriptures that relate to Thanksgiving, and finally, take a look at how we should be approaching Thanksgiving in light of the way America is living today.
Well, Jim, I think that would be a great idea, although I confess I started to chuckle when you said, could we do something different tonight? I sometimes feel like we try to do something a little different every Thursday night, but I agree with you. I think it'd be a great idea. So why don't we go ahead and get started with that? In fact, as we mentioned earlier, and I think you were kind enough to introduce to the people the fact that we recently had a chance to spend some time with people right here in Houston. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's how we thought it would be. But in fact, we had people coming in from around the country for that meeting. So that was particularly nice. And we asked them the simple question about their favorite Thanksgiving. One of the first ladies we spoke with was Beverly Terrell from here in Houston, Texas. And this is what she had to share with us.
Oh, I think the day that my dad bought a turkey, and we didn't think we could afford a turkey, and one of the people on his route, because he was a letter carrier, one of the people gave him a turkey, and they gave, and we had a turkey for Easter. That would be unique.
Well, you have to admit, an Easter turkey would be a unique situation, wouldn't it?
Talk about a confused bird. Oh, well, yes, it seems so funny that just comes Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas. It's all areas that we all love to celebrate as Christians. So I can see that as a natural tendency.
Very good. But no, I mean, we take for granted sometimes that people are having a time of bounty, a time of celebration. But often what is the case is people are on lean times as well during Thanksgiving. It's not a guarantee that you've been super prosperous. But even during those times, families draw together, and they should have that time and celebrate at whatever level. And I like this particular account. Beverly really was talking about Thanksgiving and to realize that God provided for her family in a time when they weren't sure if they could even afford a turkey. God brought it through somebody, put it on their heart to provide that turkey. So it's amazing. I mean, I've known lean years, I've known prosperous years, and the one thing I've always known is that God was the ultimate provider. And it just makes for an interesting time when we can really see God's hand in it.
Yes.
In an exceptional and special way.
Yes.
You have any special thoughts about that?
Well, Pastor, the first thing I'm looking forward to is just the word Thanksgiving. I have to be reminded as a Texican that it's not Thanksgiving like those that understand language and diction. In Texas, it's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving.
Given.
So there's a whole different tense of the word if you're a Texan. And I was listening with Beverly talking. I thought, am I the only one that says, Happy Thanksgiving?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
I am. You know, it just means so much. I mean, we have the opportunity to, and we include it in our prayers, to be, you know, to tell God we are thankful. I mean, all the things you can think about, and I could just go on forever, but I'll try not to. The things you think about is, number one, He created us. I'm thankful for that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know this life experience unless for some reason it was His great pleasure to create us. And then not only did He create us, but He put us in the United States of America. How thankful. And we look around at all the activity, the terrorist situation across the globe, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. And I'll try not to dominate the airtime here, but we have a great reason just to be a citizen of the United States.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to look at another favorite Thanksgiving from Bob Reinhold, who is also here in Houston.
Just a lot of fun with the kids and the grandkids, and used to be grandparents and parents, but that's kind of gone by the wayside now.
So, yeah, it's getting family together, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. You know, Pastor, when I think of Thanksgiving and giving, I'm going to practice. When I think of that, and I know you do this too, you go back and you think, I believe the first thought I have is when I was younger and I was a child and I didn't have to think about preparation for Thanksgiving dinner and getting people together. To us, it was just an adventure, and we either got to go somewhere or we were taken somewhere like grandma's house or to one of our uncles or aunts, and it was just a wonderful time, but it was a lot more simple, I guess is a good way to say it, when you're a young kid. And then as you get older, there's a lot of responsibility to putting this together, and it's a wonderful thing to come together, friends and family.
Well, I tell you what, Jim, I've got a little soundbite sort of on that subject. Because, there are some of these big families, the children wind up at a separate table. And during some of the more country-tied days, the adults were eating up the food and the children were sort of getting the leftovers. And it went a little bit like this.
Until it's time to say the grace, Uncle, I could say the blessing, and all the kids would take our place. We've been at the second table eating chicken, eggs, and wings. Hot dogs and damn gravy, and the backpack from the beans. Peach cobbler without peaches, melted ice cream from the churn. There wasn't very much to choose from once them grown-ups had returned.
So was it that way at your house? Did the adults eat up all the food? And did you pig out on chicken wings and things?
Well, I didn't pick up on everything he said, but it did sound like a Simmons Thanksgiving. I'm amazed you must have had a hidden microphone. But can you see how much fun we have when we're gathered?
Absolutely, absolutely. You got those chicken necks and wings go pretty far at the children's table, don't they?
It's almost like turkey, only pint size.
There you go. And let's find out from another lady. This is Jane Turlington from Brenham, Texas. One of our favorite places. So
yes,
we'll
it is.
See how her Christmas or Thanksgivings go.
Being with my family and going to church. And I've been a Christian all my life, so it's a blessing. And my family is a blessing. And they still are.
I love that caveat in there, and they still are. I mean, isn't that a nice touch?
Absolutely. Well, there are some...
Do you think she was realizing her family would be listening, and she wanted to make sure they were still okay with her?
I think it's always important they know where you stand and are still stand. But, she's from Brenham, Texas. And we know
Absolutely.
Something special about Brenham because that's hit the national news. Isn't that where the little Bluebell Creamery is?
You better believe it. Those contented cows of Brenham bring us some of the finest ice cream around. And if any of you in Brenham are listening, please set a few quarts aside for us. We appreciate those. If you're ever visiting Houston, by all means, find us and bring a few gallons our way.
Absolutely.
Makes for a special Thanksgiving time when we can be thankful that the Brenham plant is back up and running.
Boy, that's true.
In fact, we got another gentleman here from Houston, Frank Gentry. I want you to hear what he has to share with us.
Wow. All Thanksgivings are great for me, so it's hard to sit here and pick out one as a memory, but I guess it's just family, turkey, and getting together like that.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Isn't that interesting? Family first, then let's talk about the food, and then the gathering. It's mm-hmm. just... so far, we've heard about the same. I just wonder, how did the turkey get out front like this as the main dish? You ever thought of that?
Oh, I have found the answer. Our team of experts have gone through our archives. when we open and close the program, we refer to the team here at the... what is this thing again?
Ask the pastor now group. Yeah.
Our team of researchers have been studying... to find out how did the turkey get up on front line like that. Well, it turns out Tommy the turkey in particular was a real artist, and he really knew how. He was musical, talented, and so let's hear our word from the archives about the funky Tommy the turkey.
Let's get funky with Tommy the turkey. He likes to dance at Thanksgiving time. He does, and how he does it,
Boy, those oldies never get old, do they?
Do you ever get the impression our folks in the archives have just been there just a little too long?
They've been sequestered too long. And, Pastor, wasn't it Benjamin Franklin who wanted to have the turkey as the national bird instead of the eagle?
As the state bird, yes. He said that the eagle was actually a scavenger, but that the turkey was a very noble bird.
Oh.
And somehow I always thought of the eagle as quite regal, though, when you see him soaring. I'd hate to see a turkey come soaring down out of the sky at me at full speed. And
ooh.
About 20 or 30 pounds coming at you, you'd be ready for a drumstick quickly, I guess. I don't know. So.
Well, that's interesting that those two don't seem to be, I mean, when you think of a turkey, which is usually confined to the ground. I think they do roost and they fly up in trees, but most of the time they're on the ground and an eagle soars. So looking back at it, I think we made the right choice when you think of majesty and freedom and superiority. I think the eagle wins out there, but I don't know. Have you ever had an eagle for Thanksgiving dinner?
No, I think you'd be in trouble with a lot of animal rights groups if you even tried that one.
Yes.
But I tell you what, one of the ladies we talked with, which was that absolute darling, it's interesting, you know, if you're in Texas, you take great pride in being from Texas for
mm-hmm.
obvious reasons.
Right.
And I assumed other people found pride in their locations. But here's a lady that had sort of a different approach. So we're going to take just a short little reminder from our radio station about Thanksgiving time, and then I want to have you listen to Janice Good from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska.
Happy Thanksgiving from Ask the Pastor Now.
My name is Janice Good. I'm originally from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, only for 2 weeks, but I got back to Texas as soon as my mother and daddy brought me. My favorite, I don't know that there is just one, but it's just Thanksgiving in general, because that's a time our family, as many as can and always has been, gather and celebrate what the Lord has given us.
Just as quick as she could, huh?
Didn't you like that? Yeah, she, just as fast as her parents could get her here, she came to Texas.
That's so pretty perceptive to be just that young and say, this is not going to work out for me. Nebraska's a wonderful place. They've got corn, they've got beef, but let's go to the real corn and beef town. Let's go to Texas.
So for absolutely. So for all our good folks up in Nebraska, you know, I'm sure you got a great place, but always know we've got a place for you here in Texas if you'd like to come south.
That's right.
Just an amazing time. We also have a lady from Knoxville, Tennessee, Katie Jones, who mm-hmm. wanted to share.
Katie Jones. I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. Getting together, all the cousins, the aunts, the great aunts, everything, and having Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, we had a great time.
Wonderful.
That sounds like a great time, doesn't it, Jim?
Yes, it does. And, you know, I like, did you hear in the background, there wasn't a quiet person in the whole bunch. They sounded like they were all having a great time. Did you hear that?
I heard it, but what really got me a little concerned is I think I heard the music starting up again.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Wobble, wobble, wobble.
I guess that was frozen turkey. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You know, Pastor, have you ever hunted turkey? I understand they're quite formidable prey. It's hard to have you ever gobbled one up, called one up on a?
Well, as a pastor, I like an animal that prays, so that would be good. Yes, you know, we could could greet him officially, you know.
Yeah, so you've never gone out early in the morning and brought a turkey home that you just took from the living out in the pasture somewhere,
actually,
right?
Actually, I did. I got up one early Thanksgiving some years ago in Mississippi and realized I was out of cranberry sauce, so went on down to the store and you know, as I was going by the frozen food section, I remember going, bang, oh, there's a turkey.
Yes.
Brought him right home. Said, there's a turkey. Yeah. So
you save a little ammunition.
Sometimes you just have to be a little more. That's true. And cooked them up nicely, actually. By the way, of places you could go, San Antonio is a beautiful place. For those who haven't been there before, you might want to plan a nice Christmas vacation. We had a chance to speak with Jim Ingram from San Antonio, Texas, about his favorite Thanksgiving.
My best Thanksgiving memory is having my whole family together about 4 or 5 years ago. A whole family meaning 25 to 27 people. And it's probably the last time we'll ever, it was very emotional for me because it was it's probably the last time I'll be able to get them all together because there's grandchildren, great-grandchildren involved, a whole lot of family, but it was a great time.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, and you know, he brings up a great point, Pastor. There are probably those that are listening tonight or are listening from the archives and a bit of loneliness, you know, because they're perhaps in a different stage of life. And, you know, families get scattered. Your family is scattered. Mine's a little scattered. And I'm not talking about intellect here either. I'm talking about location.
I just appreciate you clarifying that. Yes.
But, you know, for some folks, it's a very trying time, I think, and a very sad time. But as you can tell, many of them have memories of when all the family were gathered and how wonderful it was.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, we have another one that was gathered from right here in Houston, and Johnny Palmer. So here's Johnny.
Well, being with the family and being with my cousins in the country and all the food and everything. Of course, the problem was that we had to clean up afterwards, and that was not too good. And they did not have dishwashers back
wow.
then.
Wow. What? No dishwashers?
I tell you, that's just terrible, isn't it? We get spoiled pretty quick to
some
of our technologies that we've had come along.
Yeah, no kidding.
And, wait a minute. Oh, no. Oh, Jim?
Yes?
The folks have been down to the archive again.
Oh.
And they say they have the turkey dance for us. I mean, I've heard of the chicken dance, but never the turkey dance.
There's a turkey dance?
There's a turkey dance. Let's get them up here. I think we just need to lock the door on the archive. That's all there is to it.
Well, do you think the cranberries were spiked or something?
I think these are actually songs we found at your house. I think that's the label of the folder that these came out of. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a Simmons Thanksgiving, doesn't it?
It definitely has that touch. Speaking of touch, let's head on over to New Orleans, Louisiana. There's a gentleman by the name of Woody Evans. Let's see how his Thanksgiving's gone.
Thanksgiving with the whole family out in the country near Tylertown, Mississippi. We used to have all the cousins and all the uncles and aunts and all together at one big table for Thanksgiving Day.
That's great.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And did you say Nolens? What did you say?
Nolens. You know how it's pronounced? I mean, yes, Nolens.
Well, I don't.
It's just west of Picayune, Mississippi.
Now, Pastor, this radio goes yes. out over the globe, and I just thought of somebody in Sweden. Sweden, and he's saying Nolens.
Sweden.
Nolens. What's Nolens? That sounds interesting. We got to go to Nolens.
That's right. By all means, and. In fact, if you keep on going past New Orleans, you'll come up and probably join Pat Evans from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
The capital.
Going to my grandmother's for Thanksgiving dinner and having about 22 people at the long dining room table. And it was kind of fun because my grandmother would stack all the plates before her, and each person as it went around would serve the plate and pass it on around to the others. And it was fun.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound great?
A long table, yeah. You know, Pastor, when I think of that long table, I think of Norman Rockwell, you know, that just famous American, what was it, Saturday Evening Post cover, and it showed them all at Thanksgiving. And what were they doing? Do you remember? I just think it was so wonderful. They were, get this, praying. Oh, my goodness. In America.
Whoa.
They were bowing their heads and praying and giving thanks to God.
Wow. That's pretty wonderful. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people never think about the fact of Thanksgiving being biblically based. They think, well, no, the president established that. It's gone back for years. The pilgrims did it with the Indians. But they never credit the Bible with having anything in that process.
Yes.
Well, first of all, that's why they humbled themselves and prayed as a people for being delivered through a very harsh winter. And in the time of the Civil War and for the battle for states' rights, that, you know, people fought and gave their lives trying to achieve something. And they were very thankful to God for any deliverance, for any provision that they had.
Right.
This principle goes back all the way to Leviticus chapter 7. You know, verse 12 says, if he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers with oil. Goes on there for many verses about cakes and preparation and cooking for a sacrifice unto God of thanksgiving. It seems that food and prayer and thanksgiving to God walk hand in hand. And it draws people together, and it is giving. It's an offering. And so this concept of thanksgiving didn't begin with the pilgrims. It didn't even begin during our 1800s and 1860s in America.
Right.
The concept goes back to God's people offering a gift of sacrifice unto God. This peace offering of thanksgiving is very important among his people. And it is a principle to recognize that we honor God, that we worship God, but also we are very thankful for his work in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Along those lines, Jim, do you have scriptures that come to mind that are important to you regarding thanksgiving?
Well, you know, and before we do, I'd just like to just mention Leviticus is the Levites, right? This was the tribe that was given the responsibilities of priesthood, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Well, let's continue in Leviticus. Let's go to 7:13 and say, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving for his peace offerings.
And the leavened bread, I think we'd recently discussed the importance of that. Again, it's a reminder of the both the issue of speed, that it needs to be prepared quickly for God's people are ready to move out. But also, by the same token, it's a bread that has not gone through that processing of the yeast processing as a reminder, just in the same way that Christ, when he gave his life for us and was buried, he was there such a short time. It seemed like forever to the disciples that were there waiting. But then he rose again.
Mm-hmm.
And yet another reason to celebrate the accepted offering of the gift of his son for our sins. An amazing reason for thanksgiving. You know, it's amazing. You know, Psalm 26:7 says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. You know, that's one of the things that God's people love to do, that we get in Psalms, giving praises of thanksgiving, hitting with our voice. It's something we try to do even through the program, and we work through the Word of God, sharing, studying, teaching, even the people we're able to interview over the course of a year. It's a blessing time to give thanks to God for the way he works in his people. Jim, you got another verse?
Well, I was thinking of Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Interesting.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can't tell you how relieved I was that the people in the archive didn't hear that and for fear they might have brought something out.
Right, right.
But that's true. With our songs, with our words, with our walk, we need to honor God and celebrate him. You know, that's just an amazing thing. Think of Psalm 95:2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So, you know, some people use that as an excuse for a bad voice, but more than that, you know, we sing unto him, we praise unto him. The joyful noise referred to the fact that the instrumentalists, you know, maybe the percussionists, maybe they had bells, chimes, you know, cymbals, even drums, whatever it is. And I mention that because think of the number of times people go to a secular concert and there's beating of drums and sounds that are loud. And then when they come around the church, everybody has to bow their head and be solemn and quiet. And there's like a shame to make any sound. It's hard to get them to sing a hymn. And yet we're even told in Psalms, rejoice, make noise, speak up. Let the world know you're happy about something. In order to do what? Give thanksgiving for all that God has done in us. I think that's powerful.
You know,
Verse, Jim?
I think of Psalms 100 and number 4. I guess when you think of Psalms, Pastor, I always think of songs. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
All right, so this is a song, and I think King David wrote most of these, but we've heard this one many times. So, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Powerful, powerful.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I wish people would spend more time doing that. Think of some ideas, Jim. I mean, how can people today still find ways just simply to bless his name, to give praise to his name?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Jesus told us best when he says, when you do this for the least of mine, when you give them something to drink, clothing, you give them food, even a smile sometimes can just, change a person's disposition. And I think sometimes that we pass on the streets and we're so introspective or we're so concerned about, oh, what am I going to have for dinner tonight or what am I doing? And we completely ignore people. And it's clear that God wants us, I think, to celebrate and to be excited. And who better than people from the United States to be excited about what we have to be thankful for? And I think of Psalm 147:7. It says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp. I don't do that often enough. Unto our God. Upon the harp. Can you play the harp?
That's so true. Not too well. I've known people that could harp about things, but only a handful that could actually break into song there. Actually, interesting enough, we do have a little sound bite from the archives, which we're not going to play at this moment. You'll be happy to know. But it comes from a harpist, and so we'll mention him a little bit later. And what I love is the fact that I heard him at the church one time prepare some music before he started. He said, I believe in doing everything scripturally. So he opened up his Bible and says, and David played upon the harp. Closed his Bible, put it down, said, that's good enough for me. And then he started playing the harp. So, yes, I have heard a chance to hear a harpist, and we will a little bit later in the program. One of my verses that I am almost embarrassed to take satisfaction in, you'll make more sense in just a moment, Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody.
Wow.
The reason that particular verse touches me, and you first look at it, maybe you miss something. Notice he says that comfort in Zion, he'll comfort her waste places. In other words, the areas that we look at in our lives and in our land that we think are just wasted, gone, worn down. He says he's going to comfort that. And then I like this. He says he'll make the wildernesses like Eden. So in other words, the parts of our land that seem to be the most unappreciated and undervalued, he's going to make like the Garden of Eden.
Wow.
The desert will be like the Garden of the Lord. And I look at that verse, and here's what it shouts out to me. The parts of our lives that we feel are the weakest, not our strength, the things that we stumbled, we felt we're just not good at doing anything with. It's exciting to me to realize that God can step in and do something, especially with those parts of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we see as failure, he can make like the Garden of Eden or a special place. Do you know, Jim, I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but for me growing up, I had an incredible fear of the telephone. In my early days, we were having a revival at a church. I was probably about 12 years old, and I decided to get out the church directory we had, and I'm just calling people, inviting them to the church. Absolutely terrified every time I dialed a number, and then was even more upset because none of the people I called showed up. So, I mean, I just had this fear of the phone. For me to use the phone was like the worst experience.
Mm-hmm.
And going into ministry, what scared me is the fact that I didn't really have didn't bother me the idea of preaching somehow. What bothered me was the idea of teaching.
Wow.
I just thought, no. I couldn't stand up in front of people and teach God's word. That's not me. I'd be way, way too uncomfortable, felt totally inadequate. You know, so the idea of using a phone or standing up in front of people teaching, to me, was an absolute nightmare. No way that could happen. Yeah. That was my ultimate weakness. And here, years later, I probably make more phone calls than most people, and I'm greatly blessed. God uses me in the area of teaching more so than I would say even in preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny that, to me, the two weakest areas of my life are the two areas that God has blessed the most.
Oh, I know what you mean.
I don't say that pridefully. I say it most humbly, that I am touched that there's no way I can get prideful about that, because I know it's got to be God. I know how I can handle a phone on my own. You don't want me handling a phone on my own. And, you know, it's what God does. It's
right.
Just an amazing thing.
Right.
And that's the reason that verse touches me.
Well, you know, Pastor, when we are prayer intercessors, you know, we do that a lot in mm-hmm. our church. And it's always amazing to me that you talk about the phone like that, because that was one of my fears when we started. And how many years ago was that? Many. And I thought about, oh my goodness, they're going to call me and say, okay, in Jeremiah it says this and that. And I wouldn't know the Bible well enough to debate or talk. And it turned out to be so different. It turned out that people call in for prayer because their life has been devastated. They've gotten horrible news at a hospital or a doctor's office. Their family has come apart. Drugs, prison, all the things we hear on these calls. And it's just so wonderful when we finish with that caller, and we've, you know, as you've told us repeatedly, it's not what I think, it's not what you think. What does the Bible say? What does God say about this? And you keep driving us back to the Bible. Let's answer that question correctly. And I think of Jeremiah 30:19, and it says, "And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." And boy, if that does not speak to our prayer intercessory group, I wouldn't know what would.
Isn't that amazing? I even got tickled to realize, of all verses for you to pull, after having said what you said, you were frightened somebody would call and ask a question about Jeremiah. What do you grab? Jeremiah 30:19. But again, that's got to be a God thing for you. And but proceed with thanksgiving, and the voice will be merry, and he'll multiply, and he'll glorify. That's what God does in our lives.
Yes.
And I just think that it's so exciting to realize that. And it's just so touching.
Yeah.
You know, think of Jonah. Jonah, we think of as, here's this defeated person running from God, going into the belly of a large fish, and then coming back and finally being able to spread a message. And even then, at the end, when God blesses, he gets depressed again. But look at what he said in Jonah 2:9. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that which I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." He comes to a time in his life when he realizes it's time to give and honor God with his life. You know, that's an amazing thing. Salvation is of the Lord. I'll give what I vowed. He's giving his life back to God and prepared to serve him. That's an amazing thing. I wonder sometimes how powerful the evangelistic arm of the local churches would be if all the people who have been waiting to serve him, to share the word of God, to witness to others, would step up to that challenge with a strong voice of thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, in 2 Corinthians 9:11, "being enriched in everything to all," I love this word, "bountifulness," that's a mouthful, "to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." Wow. You know, when we think of thanksgiving, do we first think of God, or do we think thanksgiving, turkey, family, gathering, and all of the logistics? Or do we remember the object of our thanksgiving? And that's God, who created us and provided. And who would have Who would have imagined, and I think of this often, and I know you do too, Pastor, what made us special that God saw to it that we were placed in the United States of America that was founded, we got to remind folks, it was founded on Christian principles. Despite what the TV says, Christian principles. And it's, I am so thankful for Thanksgiving because, you know, giving thanks is a daily routine. But this time of year, we get to celebrate it with those that maybe do not have what we have.
And you know, Jim, people all over the world, regardless of their government, their way of life, one thing they know is they can count on God and that He will be faithful in their lives. And they have a reason to give thanks when they look at what God does in their lives. Maybe the governments don't do it. In fact, most often they don't. Systems don't do it. It's the power of God moving amongst His people that truly makes the difference. That's why we have Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Goes on to say in Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So I think the Word of God gives us a powerful arm to look at of thanksgiving and attitude of thanksgiving. You know, God just does these amazing things in our lives, and we need to recognize we need to be a people of gratitude and thanksgiving and honor Him. You know, it's not the cranberry sauce. It's not the turkey. It's not the stuff or the stuffing. It is a matter of a grateful heart, honoring God, worshiping Him, and praising Him. We are going to have a quick little bumper back to our station, and when we come back, we're going to pick up with Jane Turlington from Brenham, Texas, answering a question we gave to our little group there, and we asked them, how should we be observing Thanksgiving in light of the way America is today?
Well, we've missed the deal. I mean, we're completely off. We're not giving thanks. We don't realize the privileges that we have. That's it.
Pretty strong, don't you think?
Well, it pulls no punches, and I hate to say it, but she's really accurate, Pastor. When you say, what should Thanksgiving mean to us, we do miss it. And, I've been very critical in the past of the media, because I think I grew up on television. And, back then, Pastor, when I was growing up, I don't have to tell you the 50s and 60s, do I? When I was growing up, they had beginning a broadcast and ending a broadcast late in the evening. They had a code of ethics. In other words, you couldn't put anything on television. It had to be suitable for family, and it had to be closely watched. And now you see it, and it has no semblance to how it began. And the problem is, because it's so captivating, and I'm not talking about just TV, that's a big part, movies, radio, not our show, and all of the things that buffet us, the social media, we have strayed so far, and it comes to mind, Sodom and Gomorrah. Why were those cities destroyed? And it was the corruption, as I recall, that came up to the Lord. The corruption stunk so bad. And we're in that position here in America. We've allowed a little bit here and a little bit there. And now, do you know of anything that can't be put on television? And it used to be you couldn't have it in prime time, which is when kids were still up. Not true anymore. So we need to call attention to that, and we need to repent and get away from what these special interests have infiltrated our minds with. Sorry, Pastor.
That's so true. No, that's quite right. We also had a gentleman with us, Art Palmer from Portland, Oregon, and this is what he had to say on the subject.
To be thankful for everything we have, and that we know the Lord, and that we have good health. Thank you.
Oh, something we haven't heard before, good health. And that Art Palmer, what a golfer, huh? He's a great golfer. I like him.
I tell you, nice fella. I don't know if it's the same one, but...
But we are thankful.
I think Portland's quite
health.
Known for their golf, yes.
We should
That's
be
true.
So thankful
we need
for
to be.
Our health. It's, you know, when you enjoy good health, you never think about it. But boy, let there be a scare or some bad news, and suddenly we all get thankful for that.
Ah, so true, so true. He said he was thankful for good health, and also we are at time and day of Thanksgiving, and so we're going to go back to our music again, and this time, though, we're getting something maybe a little more appropriate. This is a hymn that really strikes home. Mm-hmm. It's Come Ye Thankful People, Come.
Come ye thankful people, come.
That's so true, isn't it? Just to think, remember, and to give thanks as a people.
Right,
right. It's so very important.
You know,
we have a lady, John, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Pastor, you hear the singing, and that's a gift too. You know, I love music so much, and mm-hmm. I am really challenged when I try to remember lyrics and all that. But singing is a God-given talent, and it just goes hand in hand. So thank you for that song.
And by the way, for our musicians who are listening, I would remind you it is a gift. And if you don't exercise that gift, there's no particular reason for God to leave it with you.
Right.
So be cautious of that. I've known folks that, you know, put their gifts on a shelf, stopped using them, and when they went back, it's like they weren't there. So exercise your gifts. Be used to minister to the body of Christ. It's so very important.
Right.
We also had Johnny Palmer in Houston that had this to say.
Thankful to God for all of our many blessings and the provisions that He's provided for us, protection so far, and our friends and our church family, and the love that everybody shows for one another, just being thankful for them and our families.
Wow. That's true. We need to keep that heart of gratitude. And I'll just tag one more along with that because Johnny really opened the door for it. And then Bob Reinhold also from Houston made this statement.
We should give thanks for all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And, you know, just thank the Lord because we have so much and we're blessed.
You know, Pastor, what Johnny said just a little earlier in that previous soundbite was something. Do mm-hmm. we thank God for church? For being able to worship? Isn't that why this country was founded? Because we couldn't worship
yes.
the way we knew, not thought, but knew God wanted us to worship?
That's so important. We take that for granted, and we don't remember to say thank you, God. We need to. We need to praise Him and give thanks, even for our right to come together and worship.
Mm-hmm.
In many homes across America, and I imagine the world, people wonder when they get up on Sunday morning, are we going to church or do we have to go to church? And, you know, why is that the question? Why isn't it what time are we leaving?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and don't they remember from last week? Right? You know, it's a shame that that's ever put on the table as a question. Are we going?
Yeah.
I think if our hearts are right, if our passion is right, if our desire to be together with God's people, remember not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I think we need to really be prepared and ready to worship.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's why we have this next little hymn that we gather together to do what? To ask the Lord's blessings.
Pastor, I was thinking the earlier soundbite about church and being thankful. Pastor, we sometimes forget, we always think of having to go to church on Sunday and end the week that way, but we don't see it that way. We see it as it's our beginning of the week. It's the first thing we do, and we've gotten away from that point of emphasis that going to church is a privilege and an honor, and it's the first day of the week. It's not the last day of the week, and I have to be reminded of that because that's the way I grew up, that Sunday, that's the end of the week, and then we start another week Monday.
No, but that's also the world's attitude. We put God last, the last day of the week, and we need to keep him first with the first day of the week.
Right.
So
right.
That's that subtle little thing that gets in there that starts decaying at the family and our homes and our churches. We need to keep God first and give thanks to his love and grace. And here's a word from Beverly Terrell, how she feels we should be looking at this.
We should be on our knees thanking God that we are still here. And we still have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and we still have the Lord's blessings on us. Pray he won't just leave us.
Wow.
Isn't that so true?
Oh, you know, Pastor, I was thinking when she was talking about that, to get on our knees, you know, there's a Pastor Charles Stanley, isn't it just like all Charles, in Atlanta, that talks about fight every battle in your life on your knees and leave all the consequences to God, you know? And I thank you for that reminder, because being on our knees, we've heard it said, you're never taller than when you're on your knees in prayer.
Isn't that amazing? People seem to think somehow they're smaller if they have to resort to prayer, when in fact, no, that's your height. That's when you reach your grandest moment, when you're fellowshipping and walking with God and recognizing where the real power is. That's stunning to me.
Right.
We also had a chance to speak with Frank Gentry there in Houston, and this is what he had to say.
I think Thanksgiving should be probably our number one best memory. Family, values, things that I think our country was built on, that we need to put forth in a lot of effort and memory to that respect.
So right you are, Frank.
Isn't that true?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. It is almost a forgotten value, but it needs to be there. And I want to tie in with that. You know, we had that little hymn earlier about the Lord's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to listen to the last verse of that. It's very powerful.
Pastor, what you've taught us over the years here at Ask the Pastor Now is how many scriptures are actually in song. So it's just wonderful to hear, and you've used this before where you point out in a song, all of this, here it is in the Bible. So these hymns and all these great standards that we sing in church and you're playing now have their basis, like everything else you tell us, get back into the Bible. Everything is, God's already given us a blueprint. Let's see what he has to say about that.
That's right. And, you know, Texas appreciates the little help we got from those folks in Tennessee when we went to the Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one of our guests today that was from Knoxville, Tennessee, Katie Jones. Let's hear her comments.
We should give thanks to God for everything that we have, because we wouldn't get it by ourselves.
Wow.
Oh, isn't that true?
Well said.
Yeah, very insightful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one other gentleman here, Jess Crocker from Smithfield, North Carolina.
Ooh.
And his thoughts.
Jess Crocker.
I'm from Smithfield, North Carolina.
Well, it's kind of a combination of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Jesus Christ, the greatest blessing.
Nailed it.
Isn't that true? Especially during this holiday season as we're going from Thanksgiving, rolling into Christmas. Yes, both of those tied together, giving thanks back to God. We mentioned earlier about the harp, and that gentleman was Greg Buchanan. Let's have just a little bit of music from the harp section tonight.
Yeah.
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
That is the sound that's missing from marching bands. That needs to be in marching bands.
I have to work on that. I think our Irishmen have a smaller version of that they could take along and make it rather exciting for them.
You remember the Marx Brothers that you and I grew up laughing at, and one of the brothers was Harpo Marx. And after all the clowning and the pratfalls and the chicanery, it was always wonderful when there was a serious moment and he actually played the harp and was quite advanced in his harp playing. So thank you for that. I love that harp.
Absolutely. And from harp music, we'll jump out to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and hear from Pat Evans again.
Just a special time to give thanks. We should give thanks all year long. But it's Thanksgiving time. Just give thanks for all the blessings that we've received, for our families, and just for God's gifts to us. And there's so many.
Yeah.
That's so true. I think it's sort of interesting that when we ask people about their favorite Thanksgiving, they mention a lot about people and food, and family. When we ask them about what we should be doing as a nation, it's being thankful, it's remembering, it's bringing God back into that process. And I think very short, pithy, strong words from a man named Bill Rhodes right here in Houston said it very well with this statement.
Bill Rhodes, Houston, Texas. We need to remind the grace of God and what He's done for us and His giving to us and be thankful that He gave it to us. You're welcome.
Wow. Wouldn't that pretty well say it all right there?
Wrapped it up.
Just to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't have any of it outside of God. Isn't that so true?
Absolutely. Well, Pastor, do we have much time left? I was just looking at our clock.
Actually, we got 30 seconds, and I just want to say to our listeners, you're not alone. You still got brothers and sisters in Christ who are praying, seeking God's face, and I encourage you, if you don't know Him, call out to Him in salvation tonight. But know that we love you. We're praying for you. We want you to join us again next week as we finish out this night saying, thank you, God. Thank you for your love and your grace.
Yes, absolutely.
Good night, Jim.
Good night, Pastor. God bless you, and Thanksgiving is wonderful.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.